प्रभुजी इज द डिसाइपल ऑफ हिज होलीनेस प्रभुपाद का स्वामी महाराज.
कैन यू से प्रभुजी'स नेम अगेन?
प्रभुजी'स नेम इज श्याम सुंदर जगन्नाथ प्रभुजी. ही इज इनिशिएटेड बाय हिज होलीनेस जयपिता का स्वामी महाराज. प्रभुजी इज सर्विंग इन मायापुर लुकिंग आफ्टर द फाइनेंस एंड अकाउंट्स. अर्लियर ऑन ही हैड वर्क फॉर अबाउट 17 years इन दुबई मिडल ईस्ट बिफोर ही मूव्ड फुल टाइम टू सर्व इस्कॉन. ही हैज ऑल्सो सर्व्ड इन इस्कॉन कलकत्ता एंड पुणे टेम्पल्स बिफोर ही मूव्ड टू मायापुर. We are very, very fortunate, Prabhuji, having you in our call. Prabhuji, are you there?
Hare Krishna, Mataji, and Hare Krishna, all the boys. My name is Nansundar Jagannath Das. It's a great pleasure to be able to participate in this conference and share some of the realizations, firstly for my purification, as well as some benefits for all of them, the members participating in this conference. So,
thank you so much. Prabhuji, can you come little, can you speak little louder, Prabhu? I think you are speaking.
Okay, Mataji. Is this audible now, enough?
Yes.
Okay. Should I start with Jai Radha Madhava or should I start with the sloka directly? I mean, do we have the time?
Yeah, Prabhuji, you can chant Mangala Charan and then read the sloka and we can discuss. Hari Bol. Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, we cannot hear you. Sorry, Mala's problem nalaka. Hare Krishna, can anyone hear Prabhuji?
No, Mataji.
Okay.
Hare Krishna. Hari Bol.
Yes, Prabhu, I can hear you now.
Hello.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yeah, can I continue?
Yes, Prabhu.
Do we have time for Jai Radha Madhava and this thing, Mangalacharan prayers, or shall I start directly with the sloka?
Prabhuji, chant Mangala Charan, and then read the shloka.
Okay. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari, Gopi Jana Vallabha, Jaya Girivara Dhari, Jaya Girivara Dhari, Jaya Yashoda Nandana, Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana, Jaya Yamuna Tiravana Chari, Jaya Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. ओम ज्ञान तिमिरांगस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाक्या चक्षुरं मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। हेलो, इज माय वॉइस ऑडिबल? नस्तप्तायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैस्तिकी। Today we are reading from Canto 4, Chapter 7, Text 10. Tad vrishad bhaja dvesha kalilatna prajapati ivavalokat abhavat taradhrada ivamalaha. At that time, when Daksha saw Lord Shiva, who rides upon a bull, his heart, which was polluted by envy of Lord Shiva, was immediately cleansed, just as the water in a lake is cleansed by autumn rains. Purport. Here is an example of why Lord Shiva is called auspicious. If anyone sees Lord Shiva with devotion and reverence, his heart is immediately cleansed. King Daksha was polluted by envy of Lord Shiva, and yet by seeing him with a little love and devotion, his heart immediately became cleansed. In the rainy season, the reservoirs of water become dirty and muddy. But as soon as the autumn rain comes, all the water immediately becomes clear and transparent. Similarly, although Daksha's heart was impure because of his having slandered Lord Shiva, for which he was severely punished, Daksha now came to consciousness, and just by seeing Lord Shiva with veneration and respect, he became immediately purified. Om Jnanatmiyam Vishwajnananjana Chalakya Chakshuram Ritamyena Tasmai Sri Gurudeva. This is a wonderful pastime which teaches us a few things. Few things we do not know, few things we misunderstood over time, etc. What we do not know in full is the greatness of Lord Shiva, about his prowess, about his compassion. What we often misunderstand is that we at times end up not giving him his due respect, but why he commands that respect. We equate him sometimes with the demigods, and so we quite often end up not giving him the proper respect. Whereas if once we go through this sloka today in detail, we will understand the special position of Lord Shiva and why he commands that respect. And we also get to see how powerful one of the Lord's material energies are, that is envy. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that it is very difficult to cross over the three modes of material energy. And we understand how difficult it is by seeing the plight of Daksha. And lastly, the prayers to Lord Shiva enable us to become good devotees, which will yield positive results. So this, in a nutshell, is what we will be seeing today by going through the sloka and also going through the pastime, how it happened, etc. Now this pastime was being described in detail by Maitreya Rishi to Vidura. Maitreya Rishi at one point in time was describing the genealogical table of Manu. Manu is the first living entity, the after Brahma, and then his progeny, his family, etc., were being described in great detail. His children, his grandchildren, etc. Manu had two sons, Uttanapad and Priyavrata, and three daughters, Prasuti, Akuti, and Devahuti. Prasuti was married to Daksha, and whose youngest daughter, Sati, was married to Lord Shiva. So Maitreya Rishi was laying this kind of a foundation, and at that point in time, Vidura asked Maitreya Rishi that Shiva, who is the personification of Shanta, that is tranquility, he is all auspiciousness, he is Atmaram, that is, he is self-satisfied, he does not disturb anybody, he does not have any enemy, Nirvairam. So how could Daksha develop this deep animosity towards Lord Shiva? Actually, Lord Shiva is the greatest of all demigods. So how did this all come about? Lord Shiva does not look outside for his enjoyment. He is the spiritual master of everyone. He is Mahadev. He is the greatest of all demigods. So with this kind of a profile of Lord Shiva, how could Daksha develop this animosity? This was the setting. Then Maitreya Muni, he began to describe how it all unfolded. A big sacrifice was being arranged, and in that sacrifice, all the great personalities, demigods, brahmanas, sages, etc. were present. Lord Shiva was also present. Now, in this assembly, Daksha arrived to conduct that ceremony. Now, Daksha was the chief of Prajapati. And he was also in an exalted position, in the sense that when he entered, his brilliance overshadowed even the brilliance of the sun god, Surya Dev. He was so brilliant, he was so effulgent. And as soon as he appeared in the assembly, everyone stood up to offer respects to him, excepting two personalities. One was Brahmaji, who is the father of all, everyone. So obviously he does not have to show his respect in this sense. And then the other personality was Lord Shiva. When Daksha saw that Lord Shiva had not stood up, nor had he offered any respects to Daksha, Daksha got very upset. His argument was that Shiva was his son-in-law. Now, in the normal context, a son-in-law is always junior to his father-in-law. So Daksha, who was actually very deep in the bodily platform, he looked at Shiva in this kind of an equation, that he was his son-in-law. He did not pay, Lord Shiva did not pay respects to Daksha when he entered. So that was the start of all this confusion. Now the moment Daksha saw this, he immediately blasphemed Shiva, and he cursed, took all kinds of names, and the curse was that this sacrifice which is being performed, actually the materials which go into the sacrifice is actually destined for the demigods. And the demigods look forward to this, their share of the sacrifice, because that is how they get their, they derive their pleasure. So if somebody is present in that and is awaiting his share, but then he is denied, that is a insult. So this is what Daksha heaped on Lord Shiva. Actually, it is stated in Bhagavad Gita 3.1, Saha Yajna Prajasastva Purvottava Prajapati. That is, in the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices of Vishnu and blessed them by saying, "Be thou happy by this yajna, sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation." That is, the demigods will provide all kinds of arrangements for conducting the sacrifice, and the human beings will offer the sacrifice. Actually, this, the offerings which are made into the sacrifice can be looked at from the point of view of payment for the facilities which one gets. So that payment is actually going towards enjoyment of those demigods who are called and present. Now, we have seen that Lord Shiva has been deprived of his share. Now, Lord Shiva was pretty calm. He did not say anything. He left the assembly and returned to Kailash. But while going, he was just thinking, meditating, that he had been misunderstood and insulted in the assembly. But in this process, although Lord Shiva was unaffected, the chief of his followers, Nandishwara, he became very angry at the people who were siding with Daksha, and he cursed them. And those curses, actually, Srila Prabhupada explains in another place, that those curses which Nandishwara gave to those brahmanas, they seem to have manifested brilliantly in this age of Kali. And what were those curses? The curses were, the brahmanas will study the Vedas without understanding its meaning or purpose. Now, we know from Bhagavad Gita, Vedes sarver aham eva vedya. That is, the ultimate purpose of studying the Vedas is to know Krishna. Now, one studies the Vedas, but if he does not get that purpose, the very purpose of studying the Vedas is defeated. So this was one of the curses given by Nandishwara. The second curse was that those brahmanas will be simply concerned about the karmakanda rituals for their own sins gratification. Because Daksha's assessment of Lord Shiva was on the bodily platform. I mean, he did not see anything beyond that. And hence the entire group of people who were Daksha's supporters would also remain only on this bodily platform. The third curse was that in order to earn their livelihood, that is these brahmanas, they will have to beg from door to door. Now, that also we can see nowadays, the brahmanas, before they start performing the yajna, they discuss that, yes, I need 3,000 rupees or say $500 for this. You give, I perform. You don't give, I don't perform. I mean, it's a sort of a exchange, money exchange. The whole purpose of this, of getting the Lakshmi, is that they can maintain themselves in a body conscious platform, nothing else beyond that. So we can see these three curses of Nandishwara manifesting very prominently in Kali Yuga. And lastly, Nandishwara also said that Daksha will get the head of a goat. So this was happening on one side. Immediately, Bhrigu, who was siding with Daksha, he was very annoyed, and he started his
quota of church. He said that the followers of Lord Shiva will not be having any culture. They will remain in the mode of ignorance. Their activities will be centered around intoxication, meat eating, etc. They will remain in unclean places. They will indulge in unclean activities. So this sort of a give and take in terms of churches was going on back and forth. Thereafter, they all departed to their own places. But the tension between Lord Shiva and Vaksha, it continued to simmer. After a long period of time, Brahmaji appointed Vaksha as the chief of all Prajapati. Now, Prajapati has two connotations. One is, he is the progenitor. That is, Brahmaji was given a mandate by Vishnu that he should fill up this universe with living entities. That is, living entities will have to be procreated. So, Daksha was given the chief of this Prajapati. That is one meaning. The other meaning is that he is also the chief of all living entities. So he was in a pretty exalted position, so far Daksha. And that went to his head. And he thought, he became very prosperous. So he thought he will commemorate this event by performing a yajna, by a sacrifice, and invite all the exalted personalities, brahmanas, sages, etc., from all the heavenly planets, all exalted personalities, all top shot notches, excepting Lord Shiva, because that old animosity continued to work on Daksha. So he said, excepting Daksha, everybody else will come. Now, when he sent out these invitations and all these demigods, they started coming from the heavenly planets with their wives and families, where all the families were decked up very nicely in their finery, jewelry, etc. All this was being noticed by Sati, who was the wife of Lord Shiva. Now, Sati and Lord Shiva were not invited. On the other hand, Sati was the youngest daughter of Daksha. So she was getting pretty worked up. But look, my father is conducting such a huge sacrifice and we are not invited. So she asked permission from Lord Shiva. So look, you allow me to go. You are not being invited. You could stay here or you could come at your discretion, but I would like to go. She was getting pretty worked up because all her siblings, her mother, parents, everybody will be there. Then all the other exalted personalities will be there, but only she and Lord Shiva will not be there. She was feeling left out. This was eating into her heart. She could not control herself. She was simply smiled. Initially, he did not react much. And then he started to pacify her. So look, your father is on the bodily platform. He, even if he finds that, yes, I am not there, but if he finds you, he will insult you. Because even he has agreed to this marriage only due to Brahma's insistence. And that will still play out. So he will again insult you. You will not be able to take it. And we do not have an invitation. At that time, Sati said that yes, we do not have an invitation, but then we do not need an invitation to go to a friend's house and it is quite okay. Lord Shiva explained, one should not go to anyone's house who looked upon his guest with raised eyebrows and angry eyes. The pain that is caused by an enemy's arrow is not as great as that which is caused by his words, angry words. So he still tried to dissuade Pati from going. But she was getting pretty worked up that yes, she has been left out and she wanted to desperately participate in that yajna. In fact, Lord Shiva added that yes, you are Daksha's pet daughter. Even if you go without me, we will not honor you because of your being my wife. And thus you will regret your connection with me. Now, at this stage, Pati became very, very perturbed. She became so angry that she started pacing the length of the room, that is from one wall to the other. She was being tormented internally. And at one point in time, she looked at Lord Shiva with such piercing eyes, as if that glance itself could decimate Lord Shiva. I mean, that is the kind of a vision she gave. And finally, breathing very heavily, Pati departed impetuously. She didn't wait for any further words from Shiva. She left for her father's house. Now, he also, coming from a strong high lineage, and Lord Shiva had his followers, so he dispatched all the followers, said, yes, you all go with Sati. And Sati was given, in fact, Nandishwara also was dispatched, and Sati was given a seat on Nandishwara. They made a canopy, held it on top of Sati's head, and so they all went in a joyful mood. They thought that, yes, the old past history will not come about and that they can also join in the festivity. So this was the mood with which Pati went there. But when she arrived, she saw that everyone was being received very, very nicely. But then nobody paid any attention to her excepting her mother and her siblings. Devahuti, Akuti and Krishna. So, her father did not come about to welcome her. Now, she felt very bad. Now, the followers of Lord Shiva was watching Pati as to how she was reacting to this, that Daksha was not coming to welcome Pati. In fact, they were seeing that Pati was getting worked up once again. She came in a joyous mood. She saw everybody being received very nicely. But she herself was being denied of participation in the festivity. So they were getting ready to kill Daksha. But then Sati restrained them. And then in the middle of all the sabha, Pati really took off on her father, Daksha, saying that Lord Shiva is the foremost personality and he is beloved by all due to his being free from enmity. Thus it is only you who could be envious of him. Your only business is to find faults in others, whereas Lord Shiva magnifies whatever good qualities he sees in others. Still, it is not astonishing that a person who has accepted the body of the self should always engage in deriding great souls. You consider my husband to be inauspicious, but do you think that Lord Brahma is a fool? He accepts the flowers offered at the lotus feet of Lord Shiva and places them upon his head with great respect. Incidentally, Lord Shiva is Lord Brahma's son. But because of the exalted position of Lord Shiva, Brahmaji is also paying respect to him. So, what is the status of Daksha? Daksha is clear that yes, he did not give me respect being my son-in-law. I mean, he was looking at it from that bodily platform, whereas Lord Shiva was, you know, miles ahead of all of these thoughts. He was placid. I mean, he did not get into these kind of equations. Then after saying all this, Sati was getting pretty worked up. He said that, yes, I have got my body from you. That is Daksha, her father. Now, I do not want to remain in this body. So what she did was, she brought out her life air, slowly, slowly, the chakra came up, and she gave up her body. Immediately, there was a tumultuous uproar which resounded all over the universe. As the denizens of the heavenly planets, they explained, oh, why has Sati, the wife of the most respectable demigod, put her body in anger? How could Daksha have been so cruel to his own daughter, who was such a chaste and exalted girl? So this was what was being discussed at that time. So at this juncture, the followers of Lord Shiva prepared to kill Daksha with their weapons. They were thinking that they have not been able to protect Sati, and they were ready to give up their own life. But firstly, they want Daksha's head. Now, as the ghosts and Yaksha rushed at Daksha, Rigu, who was on the side of Daksha, he quickly offered oblation into the southern side of the sacrificial fire and uttered some mantra. And what happened was, instantly, thousands of demigods, they were called Ridhus, they appeared from the fire and they were extremely powerful. By the dint of their superior Brahma Teja, when the Ribhus attacked Lord Shiva's followers with half-burnt wood from the sacrificial fire, the followers of Lord Shiva panicked and began fleeing in all directions. Now, the message went to Lord Shiva. Firstly, the first person to give the message was Narada. But Narada explained that Sati has committed suicide and all your followers appear to have been created at the hands of this Ribhu demigod. Now Shiva got furious. And then, laughing like a madman, Lord Shiva dashed the blazing hair onto a ground. From his head, he took out a hair and dashed it into the ground, and from which a fearful black demon named Veerabhadra was created. He was as tall as the sky and bright as three suns, and the demon had thousands of arms, sharp teeth and blazing hair. Adorned with a garland of human head, he stood before Lord Shiva with folded hands and inquired, "What shall I do, my lord?" Lord Shiva ordered Veerabhadra, who was a personified anger of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus fully confident of his prowess, Lord Shiva said, "Go and kill Daksha and destroy his sacrifice." So Veerabhadra, he circumambulated Lord Shiva, and he departed along with a lot of other Lord Shiva's followers. All of this created a tumultuous uproar. And the people in that sacrificial arena, they could sense that there was something mismatched happening. There was something which was not vibing properly with this sacrificial arena. It became suddenly dark, and they thought it must have been a dust storm. But then they said that there is no wind, there is no herd of cows, So, is it possible that this disturbance is caused by a mob of plunderers? Or what is happening? They were totally puzzled. The woman headed by Prasuti replied, the dangerous condition is the result of Daksha insulting behavior, which caused the innocent Sati to give up her body, as we all looked upon. That is, they laid the blame totally at the door of Daksha. At the time of dissolution, they said, Lord Shiva laughs and dances proudly, and with his trident he pierces the rulers of the various planets. While such talk was going on, Daksha began to see the omens, which were fearful, in the sky, as well as they appeared in the land. And thereafter, all the Veerbhadra, as well as the Shiva followers, they surrounded the sacrificial arena and began to create disturbance. And they absolutely decimated the sacrificial arena. All the followers of Daksha and Bhrigu, they were killed. All their sons, they were dismembered. Their teeth were taken out, their eyes were taken out. I mean, various kinds of atrocities were committed on them. And then this entire bunch pounced upon Daksha. And Veerbhadra was very clear that he was going to have Daksha's head cut off. So he was trying to shoot all kinds of arrows at his head. But then Daksha was powerful enough to retract all those arrows. Those arrows did not even make a dent on Daksha's face. Then Veerbhadra saw a wooden device which had been used for killing the sacrificial animal. And by using it, he was finally able to cut off Daksha's head. The moment this happened, all the followers of Lord Shiva jumped up in joy. They picked up Daksha's head, threw it on the southern side of the sacrificial fire, and it burned for them. So, Daksha was also killed. Now, having been defeated by Lord Shiva's soldier, the Brahmanas and demigods went to take shelter of Lord Brahma. And after offering their obeisance to Lord Brahma, they anxiously explained what all had happened. Actually, Brahma and Vishnu, they did not participate in the sacrifice because they were forewarned. They knew that some chaos was going to happen. And that chaos was not of a small order. It was a terrible chaos. They knew. They were watching. And they knew that Daksha was also on the wrong side. So, then Lord Brahma explained that if you cannot be happy by performing a sacrifice and at the same time blaspheming a great personality, that is excluding Lord Shiva, like see, when you perform a sacrifice, the sacrifice is for the benefit of Vishnu. Yes, we all know that yes, we can satisfy Vishnu directly without satisfying any of the demigods. But then Vishnu himself says that yes, you should satisfy all my followers. Then I take pleasure in that. So, if you are negating Vishnu's thought, you are doing something else directly, obviously you are on the wrong side. So, Brahmaji explained this rationale to the Brahmana. So, Brahma also explained that, yes, see, all of you have got to surrender to Lord Shiva. There is no question that, yes, you are right. He is right. You have all got to surrender and take maafi. And Lord Shiva is compassionate. He will forgive all of you. And I will entreat him, I will plead with him that Daksha should be brought back to life. So they all went to Kailash. Of course, in Bhagavatam, that entire journey from where they met Brahma to the place of Kailash, it is described in great detail how beautiful it was, how nice it was,
etc. But I'm not covering that now for want of time. And they came across lakes, etc. So then they reached Kailash and saw Lord Shiva, who was seated upon a deer skin. And he was surrounded by Vera, Narada and the four Kumaras. His body, Lord Shiva's body, was smeared with ashes. He appeared to be like an evening cloud, and his hair was decorated with the symbol of a crescent moon. Because he was engaged in speaking about the absolute truth, the forefinger of his right hand, which held a string of the draksha, was in a mode of chanting. His left leg was placed upon his right thigh, and his left hand was resting upon his left thigh, a sitting position that is called Virasana. The demigods and brahmanas offered their obeisances to Lord Shiva with folded hands. And in turn, when Lord Shiva saw Lord Brahma before him, he stood up and bowed to touch his feet, as did all the sages headed by Narada. After being worshipped, Lord Brahma smiled to conceal his fear that Lord Shiva still may be, you know, very, very angry. But then, yes, he saw that, yes, Shiva was, seems to have been pacified. Lord Brahma then said that, my dear Lord Shiva, I know that you are the controller of all the entire material manifestation. And thus you create, maintain, and annihilate it exactly as a spider creates and maintains and winds up its web. My dear Lord, devotees who have fully dedicated their lives unto your lotus feet certainly see the Paramatma within everyone and thus do not discriminate between one living entity and another. So saying these kind of sweet words, Brahma tried to further entreat Lord Shiva to pacify him, to forgive all of this. After hearing of Brahmaji, Lord Shiva said, look, I ordered Veerbhadra and my followers to go and kill them. Again, it is not that I did it for taking a revenge. I, just like a father chastises his son who is up to some mischief so that he could correct himself, similarly, this devastation is to just to drill some sense into them. They should understand what is what. So do not think that, yes, I was very angry and this and that, but I just wanted to drill some sense into them. Lord Shiva said, my dear father, I do not mind the childish offenses of the less intelligent demigod. I have punished them just to bring them back to the right path. Since Daksha's head has already been burned to ashes, he shall receive the head of a goat. Normally, when a sacrifice, goats are given sacrifice. Now, one important point here is being made by Srila Prabhupada, which I'll come to a little later. Just 2 minutes. So, Lord Shiva said that, yes, Daksha will get the head of a goat. Bhaga will be able to see his share of the sacrifice through the eyes of Mitra. That is, through somebody else's senses, Bhaga, whose eyes have been taken out, he will be able to see. Pusha will be able to chew only through the teeth of his disciples, Pusha's teeth. Actually, Pusha showed his teeth in sort of, he was very happy when Daksha was cursing Shiva. So, Pusha's teeth were punched and taken out. So, he did not have any teeth to chew his food. So, Shiva said that Pusha will be able to chew only through the teeth of his disciples. Now, when the disciples eat, he will get that nourishment. But if he wants to eat independently, he can eat only one thing. That is dough made from chickpea flour. Prabhu will get the beard from the goat, and other demigods and priests who have agreed to give me my share of the sacrificial offering will recover from all their injuries. Now, this arrangement which Shiva pronounced was
instructed by Brahmaji, Vishnu, as well as all those Brahmanas. They did not say, yes, no, this doesn't seem to be okay, that doesn't seem to be, you know, they went along with whatever Lord Shiva sort of conjured up after the detonation. So everyone was satisfied. And thereafter, Bhrigu invited Lord Shiva to come to the sacrificial arena. Thus, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and all the demigods and sages went to the place where the sacrifice had been demolished. And under Lord Shiva's direction, Tapta's body was joined with the head of a goat that was to be offered in sacrifice. As, now, here comes the most important point, which we are reading in this sloka. Actually, I have given all of this just to be able to come to this point to say that, yes, Daksha now is looking at Shiva through the head of a goat. But now, seeing Shiva's compassion, Daksha's consciousness also changed. Previously, Daksha was looking at Shiva with envy. He is my son-in-law, he has not paid me respect. That was the equation. Now he has looked at Shiva's compassion and he is looking at Shiva with veneration. He is looking at Shiva with, in a prayerful mood. Since the consciousness has now changed, we may wonder that he has got the brain of a goat. Now, how is it that these emotions are now coming to the fore through this head of a goat? Actually, we all know that amongst all the animals, the most few of the most stupidest animals are an ass, and the second one is a goat. So in terms of IQ or intelligence, a goat is very, very lowly situated on the totem pole of intelligence. But yes, Daksha, when he is looking at Lord Shiva, he is looking at Lord Shiva with new eyes. He has seen Lord Shiva's compassion and his heart melted, his consciousness was changed. So, Prabhupada explained that it is not the brain which gives us the thought process. The brain is only a vehicle for the consciousness to express itself what it wants to do. That is the most important point here, that where we see in this 10th sloka. That yes, the moment the goat's head was placed on Daksha, Daksha looked at Shiva with a new perspective altogether. And he was ready to offer obeisances, he was ready to offer all the respect to Lord Shiva. That is, his consciousness has immediately been cleansed. Just as the water in a lake is cleansed in the autumn rain. What happens is that during the summer months, as we are going through in India here, especially Mayapur, it is very hot. And at this time, the dirt is turned off everywhere we walk and touch and that is, everything is dirty. Rains come, it is fully muddy. And then, the autumn rains, when they come, they clear up all of this mud. So this is the analogy which Prabhupada has used to explain Daksha's change of consciousness. That is, Daksha has now become the real devotee of Krishna. How? By recognizing the greatness of a great devotee of Krishna. That is what is to be appreciated. So initially also, Daksha was a devotee of Vishnu. But then he did not discriminate this, which is a lesson for all of us that we need to understand. That all of Vishnu's disciples, followers, they are also great. They are rendering some service for Vishnu. And we should look at their good side. That enables us, that thought process enables us to become a real devotee of Krishna. With this, I end my lecture. Of course, this has given me a new insight. And it is mentioned here, Maitreya Muni concluded, "My dear Vidura, I heard the story of Daksha Yajna from Uddhava, the great disciple of Brihaspati. If one hears and describes this narration with faith and devotion, he will certainly become cleansed of all the contamination of material existence." Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Krishna Prabhupada, and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhupada. All the details you explained. Thank you so much.
Hello? Hello?
Hare Krishna Prabhupada, are you hearing?
Yeah, now I am able to hear.
Thank you so much, Prabhupada, for very
Hello?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol.
Yes, Prabhu. Are you hearing, Prabhu?
Your voice is breaking, but was my voice audible, Mataji?
Yeah, yes, Prabhu, but it's some echo kind of sound, echoing coming. But your voice is audible, Prabhu.
Okay, Mataji. So this is how, I mean, Prabhupada is explaining the new perspective of Daksha when he got the ghost head. And Prabhupada also shows that, yes, the brain is not the main functionary. It is the consciousness which uses the brain as a vehicle to express its desires. So does anybody have any comments, Mataji? I mean, I would like to improve myself if I've left out any points, if it was very long, or if I've missed out on any points.
Hare Krishna, is there any question or comment for Prabhuji? Hare Krishna, if you are not asking questions, then can you please mute your phone? Okay.
Hare Krishna, for you. Hare Krishna. That's for you. I have one question. Like in Srimad Bhagavatam, generally, it would be, we assume like it would be a lot of stories about Lord Vishnu and their devotees. But I mean, one thing looks like contradictory, you know, like there's a lot of description about Lord Shiva's ghosts and half goblins and how they fought, and like so much detailed description. So how it is exactly, yeah. Why it is there in Srimad Bhagavatam so much detail? I just want to turn it.
Prabhu, your voice is breaking, Prabhu. I mean, could you please repeat your question if you don't mind, Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhu. So I have a question, like in Srimad Bhagavatam, generally we will expect a lot of stories regarding Lord Vishnu devotees. But here we see there's so much description of and how they fought, what the war was, and so much description. I mean, it doesn't look like it's connected with Lord Vishnu. Why is it given so much elaborate description?
Firstly, the position of Lord Shiva is not very clearly known to quite a lot of people, even amongst our Vaishnava Sampradaya. We say that, yes, he is demigod, okay, fine, demigod, we just pay respects and that is done with it. But then, the position of Lord Shiva can be understood by the fact that, yes, he is Brahma's son, but he is higher than Brahma. Brahma was the first created living entity, but Shiva Loka is not in the material world. Brahma Loka is in the material world. So, Shiva is a special personality. We need to recognize that. And it is all from Bhagavatam. Whatever I have said today is in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam. I mean, this Daksha's story, this pastime. So, it's all coming from Bhagavatam. There's nothing which I've taken outside of Bhagavatam. So, and Bhagavatam, it is being portrayed that, yes, Shiva's position is something unique which we need to understand. We should not get into the Daksha kind of a mentality that, yes, he is also, I mean, he is a son-in-law, he is a demigod. I mean, okay, that kind of a respect only he should deserve. No, Shiva is something unique. Shiva Loka is not in the material world. It is outside of the material world. So, whereas Brahma Loka, which belongs to his father, is in the material world. So that itself shows that, yes, he has been given a special place. Vaishnavanam Yatha Sambho. He is a very exalted personality. And to tell you frankly, Prabhu, I mean, after I read all of this only, I could understand what is Shiva's exalted position in our framework also. Actually, we are also, our family deity is also Lord Shiva. But then, this much amount of preaching is not happening with respect to the personality of Lord Shiva. So, obviously, Sukadeva Goswami has thought it fit to bring it out to Parikshit Maharaj. That is, Maitreya Rishi is explaining to Vidura about the exalted position of Lord Shiva through this pastime, which very much occurs in Bhagavatam. Does that answer your question, Prabhu? Or do you feel there is some angle which needs to be thrown light on?
Yeah, it does. But the other thing which I had is the fight between the associates of Lord Shiva. It went in, goes in so much detail and explains. Just wondering, like, why it went in so detail there, like what lessons we have to learn from there.
No, the fight between these two parties arose because of the curses and the counter curses, and it all started from Daksha's taking the position that he is my son-in-law, he did not pay me respects. It all started from that. So we need to understand that fight, etc., is just describing adding favor to this entire pastime. But what we need to understand is that Daksha's initial position about Lord Shiva on the bodily platform was incorrect. But Lord Shiva deserves much, much more. That is what this set of pastime is emphasizing. And which quite often we find in the classes, it is overlooked. It is not discussed to this extent. But from a reading of this, I mean, I would urge all of you all to go through this pastime in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, and see this. Because what I have said is just in 40 minutes. Whereas, once you read, it will take maybe hours for you to read and digest. And that is the kind of a depth which Srila Prabhupada has addressed this issue. as well as Sukadeva Goswami, of course. So, I mean, as I mentioned in the beginning, that there are a few misconceptions about Lord Shiva. We do not come across, I mean, we come across them as, yes, we are another demigod, this, that, etc. But then, the exalted position of Lord Shiva is brought out here only. And it really opened my eyes. I was also in ignorance till I read this last time, to tell you frankly.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for the
Your name, Prabhuji?
Actually, my name is Rasupal Das. I'm from Daras.
Raghuvar Das.
No, Rasagopal Das from Dallas.
Rasagopal Das. Okay, Prabhu. Okay. So, this is it, Prabhu.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the wonderful experience.
All glories to Srila Guru Maharaj, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Bhagavatam Grantaraj Ki Jai. Thank you very much for all the devotees who patiently hear me, and of course, firstly, it has enriched me. I hope it has been of some use to all of you all. Thank you very much, Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Ji, let's pay our obeisances to all the Vaishnava. Vancha Kalpataru Bhakta,
Vaishnava, 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 Vaishnava,